All right. So today's reading comes from Matthew 13, verses 31 to 33, and then verses 44 to 52. Here's another story. God's kingdom is like an acorn that a farmer plants. It's quite small as seeds go, but in the course of years, it grows into a huge oak tree, and eagles build nests in it. Here's another story. God's kingdom is like yeast that a woman works into a dough for dozens of loaves of barley bread, but waits while the dough rises. God's kingdom is like a treasure hidden in a field for years and then accidentally found by a trespasser. The finder is ecstatic. What a find! And proceeds to sell everything they own to raise money to buy that field. Or God's kingdom is like a jewel merchant on the hunt for exquisite pearls. Finding one that is flawless, they immediately sell everything and buy it. Or God's kingdom is like a fishnet cast into the sea, catching all kinds of fish. When it is full, it is hauled onto the beach. The good fish are picked out and put into a tub. Those unfit to eat will come out and cull the bad fish and throw them into the garbage. There will be a lot of desperate complaining, but it won't do any good. Jesus asked, "Are you starting to get a handle on this?" And they answered, "Yes." And he said, "Then see how every student, well trained in God's kingdom, is like the owner of a general store who can put their hands on everything you need, old or new, exactly when you need it." Would you pray with me, please? Almighty God, I come to you now as your servant, asking that the words that I speak this morning would not be mine, but they would be yours. Asking, O God, that those who hear and receive these words would receive them not only in their minds and in their hearts, but deep in their souls, O God, that place where only you and they go. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I would do your will and not my own. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. All right, so a warning to my mother, who's sitting on the edge of some pearly gate watching this morning. I'm going to do a little reading because I want to make sure we set up today's message, because I'm going to get into trouble with most traditional theologians, because I know what you think you read with the scripture if you were following it along, and if you were listening to it, I also know what you think you heard, but I'm going to turn it upside down. Amen? Any surprises? Yeah, okay. Anyway. Now, Jesus' way of telling parables, this is from the exegetical one-volume commentary. Jesus' telling of parables has no equal, yet by no means were his parables unique. The Old Testament contains many. Jewish teachers did not clearly distinguish between a proverb, allegory, aphorism, or a metaphor. Storytelling came as naturally to them as to any tribal community with a long heritage filled with the vicissitudes of tragedy and triumph. And of course that makes sense, right? We didn't have Facebook. They didn't have Twitter.
They were seldom literate, so they can't write them down.
Right.
So
and they seldom stayed in one place, so they had to find ways to tell and retell the stories. If we, specifically identifying, there are 30 vignettes which are specifically identified as parables. Did you know that? See, this is trivia for you this morning.
30. Huh?
30 of them. Right. If we add other examples of stories that Jesus told and were told in the Old Testament, and even though they don't rate as a parable, but they read like a parable, then there's 80. And among the five that were included in today's reading, we find parallels not only in Mark and Luke, but also in Ezekiel and Daniel, letters to the Corinthians and to the Galatians, and the apocryphal Gospel of Thomas. For instance, the parable of the mustard seed, or as in the Message we called it,
the acorn.
The acorn, verses 30-32. shows striking similarities to Ezekiel 17 and 23 and Daniel 4, 20 through 22. A possible earlier form of the parable of the yeast is found in the Gospel of Thomas, which, by the way, for those of you who are wondering where did the Gospel of Thomas come from, that's some of those lost books of the Bible that no evangelical theologian wants to talk about, but theologians that are worth their salt will acknowledge that Thomas exists and has got some stuff that we should pay attention to. On the other hand, the sayings may reflect the Passover custom of removing all the yeast from every Jewish household mandated by Exodus. Paul uses the same metaphor in 1 Corinthians 5:6 and Galatians 5:9 indicates that it must have been common in Jewish teachings. Again, the parables of hidden treasure and the pearl of great price resurfaced in the Gospel of Thomas. Are you catching on to this? Jesus is using stories that were common so that he could relate the kingdom of God to the folks, so that they could grab a hold of what God's kingdom was like. Now, I know we've gotten, what have we gotten here? Most of us who are in urban society, we've gotten away from farming, so we don't get it like they did. They were an agricultural society. They had to grow stuff. And back when, in my side of the family, my cousins, the Minnicks, they had a farm. My grandparents had a farm early on. And both of those folks were organic farmers before our organic farming became popular. And why were they organic farmers? Well, because they didn't want to use any of the pesticides or insecticides that had been made through the, 30s, 40s, 50s, etc. My grandfather, being the cynical old man that he was, didn't trust anybody.
All good.
And he didn't trust putting anything on his crops except good old-fashioned fertilizer. Amen. You all know what that fertilizer was. There you go. And his own water. So what that meant was, when it come time to do the harvest, whether it be apple trees or getting corn, you know, y'all know about husked corn, right? Do y'all understand what husked corn is?
It's when you get the,
you take the husk off the corn off the cob, whatever the case might be. Well, listen, when you husk organic corn, you're in for some surprises, amen. Because in the field there are things, bugs and other little critters, that find a home where? In the corn. The little treasures there. And so, you know, you got to husk the corn. Some of it was good. Some of it you cut off and you can save it. Because, again, you're trying to eat. Apples, same thing, man. The apple trees, have you ever noticed apples that have not been really treated? One of those, first of all, apple trees, as they get older, they look old and gnarly, right? And then the apples that are coming out, they're all different sizes. Sometimes they're different shapes. And every once in a while, you take an apple off the tree and you cut into it because you're about to have a good time. And what's in there?
Worm.
A worm. So that whole organic thing, these folks that were listening to Jesus would have understood what the whole agricultural thing was and what it was to be in the field. So here's what I want you to do. I know that most of us, when you hear about this reading today, when you hear it or you read it, we immediately get that teaching that says, oh, by the way, you got to go looking for God's kingdom, right? God's kingdom is this rare find. And so when you find it, you got to go sell everything else and get it. It's all on us to find the kingdom. It's all on us to find the hidden treasures. It's all on us to husk the corn, to decide what's good and bad, and which apples are good and bad. It's all on us, you see, and that's the way it gets preached, does it not? Have you not heard this sermon forever, that you got to go find the kingdom? And when you find the kingdom, you damn well better pay attention to it and give up everything for it.
Malarkey.
There's a lot of preachers using that to make money.
Hallelujah. Here's what I'm going to suggest to you this morning. And for those of you who are my friends and clergymen, hang on. Here's the deal. What if we've been reading this parable wrong all along? What if Jesus really knew his audience and really understood their hearts and was actually giving them a message? It's not about finding God. It's about the fact that God has found you. The fact that you are that unpolished pearl. That you are the fruit of the Spirit. And that God is willing to pay any price to find you. Jesus, and I can tell you why I think that it is the reverse of what I'm talking about. The gospel is full of stories about Jesus doing what? Exactly that. Going and finding the lost sheep. What about the woman at the well? What about the woman with the issue of blood? What about the woman who sat down at his lunch table?
For the crumbs.
You see, the story of the gospel is not about us having to seek God out and make things right by behaving better. It's in fact telling us that God created us uniquely and we're wonderful and God wants a relationship with us and will do anything, anything to find us. You see, it's just the opposite, folks, of what we've been taught. It's just the opposite of the way we live our lives. We're so worried that we got to get every dotted I dotted and every T crossed. And that we got to say the right creed and we got to do the right dogma and we got to do all the right stuff. And you know, my friend Pastor James had it right. I'm looking for partners in ministry. First Christian Church of Decatur has got the gospel right. Welcome home. You see, I think that we've had it for the last couple of thousand years upside down. Jesus didn't intend for us to work that hard. Jesus intended for us to know, you are God's child, and I am here to make sure that relationship is celebrated and lived to its fullest. God bless you.